How are you doing?
Can you hear Simon okay? He sounds very far away to me.
He sounds very far away to me too.
Yeah.
Because he is Andromeda.
Right.
He's far away in a lot of ways.
Well, by the Father Ted criterion, he's either very far away or he's very small.
He could be both.
I've always said that the election should happen at the best time for the country. Now is that time.
Oh, come, nobody ever reads manifestos during the election, Sean, you know that.
Look, they've taken our policies. They are bereft of policies.
For every person that likes you, there have to be people that hate you in equal measures.
This is Election Daily, a special series from Inside Politics from the Irish Times. I'm Hugh Linehan. Every evening we're keeping you up to date on this general election campaign. And with me today in studio is our political editor, Pat Leahy.
Hello, Hugh.
And on the line from County Louth, our public affairs editor, Simon Carswell.
Hello, Hugh.
Simon, what are you doing in Louth today?
I was following Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. He arrived here this morning to talk about crime, law and order. He was coming here specifically to talk to local people and talk to senior guards about what action has been taken to deal with the town's gangland feud in the wake of the murder of teenager, the horrific murder of teenager Keen Mulready Woods. So it was very much an opportunity to come to the scene of perhaps the biggest story of the week.
And who did he talk to, and did he have anything of note to say?
Well, he had a series of talking points. I think it's fair to say he came and spoke to local media. He spoke to LMFM, the radio station, and his talking points ticked all the boxes that he expressed his revulsion at the murder of the teenager. He said the government was 100% behind the people of Drogheda. He said the killers would be put behind bars. He even said crime doesn't pay, and he appealed for people to come forward with evidence. And he made those points a number of times on his visit. And afterwards, he went off to the Garda station in Drogheda, very close to the scene of the gun attack on the taxi driver last Monday evening, and he spent about an hour and a half talking to senior Gardaí about their investigation into the ongoing gangland feud, and then he headed off.
What sort of reaction did you think he got from people on the ground there, Simon?
Well, he very deliberately didn't have any interaction or interface with anyone on the ground, and I think that was quite telling. And afterwards, we went and spoke to a number of people on the streets of Drogheda, and people are very angry. People are very scared as well because of the nature of this this feud and how violent it has become. And people are very unhappy because the Taoiseach has come here and listed off the numbers of extra guards that they've assigned to Drogheda, but the people say that's not good enough. Some people on the street are quite aware that a number of those, 25 of those Gardaí, are recruits, and that there needs to be something more significant done. And people really seem to have lost a lot of faith in the government's handling of the response to this horrific feud.
What do you think the government can do to resolve this feud?
Can properly resource the Gardaí. Gardaí have been under-resourced in this town for far too long. These gangs seem to feel that they can just shoot this town up like it's the Wild West and get away with it. And it's a disgrace, you know?
Well, Fine Gael have always positioned themselves as the party of law and order, but they've neglected this town, unfortunately. Our Garda numbers have been well below what's appropriate. Drogheda, the population of the greater Drogheda area now is on a par with Waterford, but even after we got 25 young, recently qualified Gardaí into town, we're probably still 60 or 70 short of the Waterford numbers.
What more can the government do?
Bring in the army. There's not enough guards. Bring in the army just for backup, for to clean up the place. And I'm born and raised here, and I've never seen anything like this. Well, my legs are still like shaking. You won't go out. Like, you're doing nothing, only crying.
Is this going to decide how you vote on February 8th in the election?
Yeah.
And how are you going to vote? What are you thinking?
I'm changing, that's all I'll say.
Fine Gael's record on fighting crime, what do you make of that?
What have they done? You know, I can't see them doing anything. They've put extra guards into the town, but you never see them. You know, they are doing something, but I don't think it's enough.
Is this going to decide how you would vote in the election on February 8th?
It will, yeah. Yeah.
And how might you vote?
Well, I'm not saying.
Pat, I find this very reminiscent of the early stages of the election campaign in 2016, because that was the moment at which the pretty horrendous inner-city Dublin feud started, with the killing in the Regency Hotel, and there was a lot of coverage about crime being out of control then too.
Yeah, actually, as part of my detailed preparations for this campaign, Hugh, I went back and read a lot of the newspapers from the last campaign. And just like it has been this week, the early days of that 2016 campaign were dominated on the front pages by the calling of the election and the early skirmishing in the election and the crime stories about that feud in inner city Dublin. And if you go back further again, you'll see crime playing a role in the 1997 election, as far back as the first election that Bertie Ahern took power against the odds and against Fine Gael. Crime was a very big issue for Fianna Fáil in opposition, and I would expect over the coming days for Fianna Fáil to play this for all it is worth, because crime stories are always dangerous for an incumbent government. Micheál Martin said one thing as a sort of a throwaway line in one of his press conferences earlier on this week, in which he said he thought, you know, it was almost a sense in which, you know, this was out of control, or that we were losing control of our state, I think is what he said. And I think you will see Fianna Fáil trying to use that to criticise the government's record on law and order, and to put Fine Gael on the back foot as we go into the second week.
I mean, the unhappiness of the people on the streets of Drogheda was clear from your recordings there, Simon. But do you think that they blame the government and it might have a political impact?
Absolutely, I think it will. I spoke to a number of people and they said they're going to change their vote. Now, they were fairly coy about saying how they would vote, but it was clear they weren't going to vote for Fine Gael. And I think that's a difficulty for Varadkar. He came here and he kind of declared that Fine Gael is the party of law and order. And he said this, you know, a few kilometres away from where we've seen some of the most horrific acts of violence this country has seen in recent times. So there's a contradiction there, and I think it's very tricky for the Taoiseach. And I think a lot of what was done today was very much a box-ticking exercise. He was asked, you know, is this a photo op? And he kind of said, well, I would hope that it would be seen as a gesture of support and solidarity. But I think the people here don't feel that, because they haven't, the government hasn't done more than they should. I mean, there's a lot of talk of if they did what they did in Limerick to deal with the gangs there, if they did that in Drogheda, then things might be looking up. But it's been 2 years now and they haven't.
And that impression might be reinforced by the Taoiseach's appearance on local radio station LMFM.
A week from tomorrow, people in Drogheda will stand together to show their contempt for what's happening, for the violence and the lawlessness. Will you stand beside them, Taoiseach?
I heard about that event happening. I don't know if I'm available or not, but certainly if I'm invited to it and if I'm welcome there, I give that consideration. Mm. I don't even know if I'm in the country that day or not. As you can imagine, every day is
2 weeks out from a general election. I'm sure you will be in the country, would you not, Taoiseach?
I'm still Taoiseach, so yes. I do still have my responsibilities and obligations as Taoiseach, and trying to obviously campaign around them. I'll certainly give a consideration and check with
non-political, non-partisan event. You said you would stand behind the people of Drogheda. Will you stand alongside them and in solidarity with them?
So, Simon, not the most sure-footed performance by the Taoiseach there.
No, and I think a better answer would have been, yes, I'll be here. You know, he was in Drogheda as a gesture of support and solidarity, and the locals said to him, well, we've got another bigger event where you could show your support and solidarity. Can you come? And he gave that kind of ham-fisted answer. I think we got more of the Leo Varadkar who kind of struggles beyond his talking points, the kind of awkward robo Leo, you know, he just doesn't react well on the fly when asked questions. And I felt this, were we getting the leader of Fine Gael here on the campaign trail, or were we getting a Taoiseach sent to an area that has a major issue of state, a major issue of law and order? And I think he was struggling to know in what capacity he was here in Drogheda today. And I think it was reflected in some of his remarks to the media.
Which is actually an interesting point that Simon raises, because there was a note sent out from government buildings last night saying that the Taoiseach would be visiting, and of course we get bombarded with stuff from Fine Gael campaign headquarters saying what Leo Varadkar, Taoiseach and leader of Fine Gael, is going to be doing. But there was a note went out from government buildings saying that he would be visiting the Garda station as Taoiseach, and that's why we were getting that note from government buildings. So, you know, clearly there's some confusion about in what exact role Leo Varadkar was doing there today.
That can often happen during election campaigns, though, can't
it? It is, and with the best will in the world, people in the position of Taoiseach, and just like when people are ministers, the roles can become confused and can become a little bit elided. But I suppose you know, opposition politicians would say, well, it's important that they appreciate the distinction between those two roles. And I would imagine that they would be concerned that a visit to a Garda station wouldn't really be appropriate for a campaigning politician, whatever about for a Taoiseach.
Now, we've talked an awful lot about Fine Gael over the last few days, and that's fair enough, I suppose, because they're the government party and they're also currently the larger party. But we want to talk about the Labour Party in a moment. Before we do that, I just want to take a few seconds to remind you again that if you do like this podcast and you want more quality journalism from the Irish Times, all you have to do is to go to irishtimes.com/subscribe, and you can sign up there for a digital subscription. And €1 is all you pay for the first month for that, which is terrific value for unlimited access to all our journalism, which includes, and Pat, you'll be glad to hear this, our subscriber-only content, such as our fantastic Daily Politics Digest, delivered directly to your email inbox. Sometimes it's even from Pat, isn't that right?
At the speed of light, delivered to your inbox.
Remarkable stuff. So that is irishtimes.com/subscribe. Now, back to the business at hand. Simon, you were with the Labour Party in Louth today. This is one of their prime targets for recovering a seat, I suppose.
Yeah, in Jed Nash. He's a good chance of taking back the seat he lost in 2016. Sinn Féin are under a bit of pressure, it's viewed here in the constituency, under pressure to return the two seats they currently have. And the Labour Party came here today. Brendan Howland, the leader, came and made his pitch to the commuter belt, I guess is the best way to describe it. And what they did was they launched a report called Getting Ireland Moving, which is their plan to cut congestion, to promote regional jobs, and to create what they call livable communities. And Howland told us that he felt that regional communities along this commuter belt are being sucked into Dublin, and that's causing misery for families. And their plan is to, with if they get into government, is to make to instruct the IDA and Enterprise Ireland to invest in regional hubs and really move away from the city-centric job creation. And they had the stats at hand to say, you know, that the majority of jobs created are created in Dublin, and that's causing havoc and a nightmare for families who are having to commute long periods. Jed Nash pointed out that people spend 3.5-4 hours in their cars every day commuting to and from Dublin. And so Labour has this plan to make life better for those communities. And conveniently, it's he was flanked by two other candidates for the party, Annie Howie from Meath West and Duncan Smith from Fingal, both with a lot of commuters in their constituencies.
Yeah, I mean, Pat, we focus a lot, or people talk an awful lot about the constituencies of Dublin because they tend to be more volatile. So, you know, gains can be made perhaps more spectacularly. But we should include in that the commuter counties, what's called these days the Greater Dublin Area around Dublin, about around Louth and Meath and Kildare and Carlow and so on. And they can be quite volatile too, can't they?
Sure, and many of the same sort of pressures that will impinge on the election results in the Dublin constituencies will impinge in those commuter counties, exactly. I think Louth is... if it's not ground zero for Labour, it's pretty close. They've got to get the likes of Jed Nash back into the Dáil. Also, you look at places like Dublin Bay North, Éin or Reardon. These are the places that Labour absolutely has to win if it is to have a future.
You've just mentioned the two politicians who Brendan Howland would like to see one or other of them succeed him rather than anybody else in his current parliamentary party.
Well, I suppose if there is a future Labour leadership, it's likely to involve leadership contest is likely to involve Alan Kelly. And Alan Kelly, though popular in the Labour organisation, I think might be less popular, or was once upon a time, in the Labour Party parliamentary party. But anyway, that's, I guess, a fight for another day. But I think they have a good chance of winning back Jed Nash's seat in Louth. It's a 5-seater. Fine Gael will be under pressure there. Won 2 seats in the last general election, but Peter Fitzpatrick left the party to become an independent. So the party is fighting defensively, I suppose, there to retain its 2 seats. I have difficulty in seeing Sinn Féin retaining its 2 seats there with the retirement of Gerry Adams. I think Mark Deary, who's lately been added as a candidate for the Greens, could challenge strongly there, and there will be a strong Fianna Fáil challenge. But, you know, the door's open a little bit for Labour there, and it's got to push through it.
Well, that's it exactly, Simon, is it? I mean, I don't know who you were talking to today, but the reality is that if Jed Nash doesn't win in Louth, Labour are not going to have a good election.
Yeah, I think that's the case. The view is that Jed Nash is one of their strongest candidates. He's got a very high profile from the water crisis, issues to do with the water infrastructure in and around Drogheda in 2017. He's a very high profile from some of the public commentary around the gangland feud. So you could say that Labour would have a very bad day on February 8th if he isn't returned to his seat here in Louth.
Pat, final question. This is the last podcast, last daily podcast of the week, although stay tuned over the weekend for other stuff. What do you think of it so far at the end of the first two-thirds of a week anyway, I suppose?
So I think what we've seen is the sort of expected skirmishing between, principally between the two big parties, with the smaller parties trying to elbow their way in. A few bumps on the road so far for Sinn Féin. I think they'll be glad to get to, and more of them today, I think they'll be glad to get to the weekend. I think what's pretty clear from this point is that health and housing will be the dominant issues of the of the election, at least when you go into next week and you begin to see the parties rolling out their manifestos.
Will we get
and
all
policy
of those next
documents?
Week?
We don't know yet, but I would expect we will see a lot of policy policy centred debate next week. One more thing about the phase that we're now finishing and beginning to, or the phase that we're now beginning to enter, I think, is that this weekend is likely to see the first opinion polls of the campaign. We'll see further opinion polls over the course of next week. And what they will do is judge where the horse race is at. That will have clear implications for the various coalitions that will be possible after the next election on the basis of those numbers. So I think you will see a much greater focus on who will do coalition deals with who else. And I think that'll be a central part of the debate
and
next
week. We'll be looking at that horse race, but we'll also be looking in more detail at all the policies as well in some of our podcasts next week. So do stick with us. That's it for today, and that's it for this weekday series of podcasts anyway. We'll be back with them on Monday, but as I say, stay tuned over the weekend. We might have something else coming for you. Thanks to our producer, Suzanne Brennan. Thanks to Pat and to Simon for joining us today. You can subscribe to us on all those usual podcast channels. You can get us at irishtimes.com/podcasts. You can mail us at politicspodcast@irishtimes.com, or you can find every single one of us on Twitter. We're not too hard to find, and we'll be there over the weekend as well. Talk to you soon.